This is a podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. With the introduction of the new AFL Women's League, a brand new netball competition in Australia, the start of the rugby league and men's AFL season, the cricket on in India as well, well, there are more sports to watch than ever before, whether it's on TV or at the ground. But what are the sports organisations doing to get you there to watch them? One of our regular guests on Overnights is Blair Hughes, and he's a fan experience expert. He's just come back from the Super Bowl in Houston. So before we find out what's new this year for Australian sports fans, we'll find out what happened when the New England Patriots took on the Atlanta Falcons.
Look, I was just lucky enough to be there. I think I like NFL. I've been to a couple of games there on my travels. Probably done about 10 stadiums and 10 teams over there. And it's an incredible experience going to an NFL game. But to be able to kick off a Super Bowl on my bucket list of sporting events was pretty incredible. It was an incredible experience from all of the fan engagement, which you know I normally talk about on social media and things like that. But finish was incredible because there were people that were near me that were leaving at the third quarter when Atlanta were well and truly home, or so they thought. And yeah, I don't know where they ended up watching it, maybe in the car park or something like that. But it was an incredible finish.
You know, just explain that to me, because it's very difficult to get tickets to the game. It's very expensive to get tickets to the game. Now, if you were a diehard Patriots fan, maybe you're the ones who are leaving. But if you're that diehard a fan, surely you always think, well, there's a possibility they can come back. Why does a fan leave in the third quarter with, you know, more than a third of the game to go, and they paid all that money?
Especially when they've paid all that money. I mean, like tickets, you know, they started at $900 US if you were even able to get that ticket. Most people were sort of either getting them by a ballot or being able to get them off the secondary ticket market, where they were around sort of two and a half. They went down in the last couple of days leading up to the Super Bowl because Atlanta didn't have such a huge following. But why do fans do it? I remember being at a Brisbane Roar grand final and fans left when Brisbane Roar were down 2-0, and then they ended up coming back and winning that grand final. Maybe it's to get the bus home so that they beat everyone else to it.
I mean, so in future, they're going to be telling people, oh, remember when we got the bus home early, rather than remember when we saw Tom Brady throw an incredible game to help win the Super Bowl for the Patriots. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it.
I think for some fans, you know, it's whether they would ever tell their friends that they actually missed that or whether they sort of said, you know, we were still there watching it. But there's always those stories of people who leave games early. And, you know, I think this is a true testament of why you never leave a game early, even if your team's down. I mean, that was one of the greatest comebacks ever, to tie it up and then to win in overtime and everything like that. I can't believe I was there to be able to witness such an incredible game of American football, which, you know, I love rugby league and I love AFL, but it is an experience. If anyone ever gets to the US, you should try to get to a game, because it is pretty special going to an NFL game over there.
So what was the atmosphere like inside the ground as that drama unfolded?
Well, it was incredible, because at the end of the third quarter, I had gone outside to get just a soft drink and just to chill for a bit, because it was a very hot day in Houston, Texas. Now, I did a trip to London, went to a few Premier League games, and then also went over to the Super Bowl. And when I was in Houston, it was boiling hot, really humid day for the Super Bowl. So I went outside, got some fresh air, and I watched as people were, I was on right at the top of the stadium, and I watched all the people leaving. You know, I think they must have been up 28, it might have been 28-3 or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you couldn't blame some of these people, because the idea was, well, they've lost, you know, that's a quarter of football, and you know, these quarters end up going for ages because there's so many stoppages. Right. But the atmosphere from people at that moment was incredible. You could feel the tide starting to change, and you could hear the noise in the Patriot fans as well sort of starting to pick up. And I think a lot of people, even Atlanta fans, couldn't believe what they were seeing. So it was certainly an interesting aspect to a game, yeah.
So how did you get your ticket?
Well, I was very, very lucky. I'm very well connected, and like I say, very extremely lucky. I wrote an article on fan experience in American sport, and that was picked up by the NFL, and they contacted me and said, do you want to come over and check out what we're doing for the Super Bowl? And I said, yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't turn that offer down. And very lucky to be able to do what I do in the sports business and write about this topic that I love so much, fan engagement and marketing and fan experience, trying to make the experience for fans the best it can possibly be.
So the fan experience at a Super Bowl, they're trying to kind of replicate here on a smaller scale in grand final week in AFL or in rugby league. What happens, though, in the NFL when it is a whole week, or in fact 2 weeks prior, because the previous game is 2 weeks earlier, and then in the city where the Super Bowl is being held, they have a lot of events. What sort of things do they have for fans who are either going to the game or who live in the city or maybe who are attracted to come to the city even though they don't have a ticket to the game?
Absolutely. And look, one thing I'll point out straight away is that there's a lot of events in the lead-up to the Super Bowl, and I was originally going to be in Houston for the Super Bowl, wasn't intending to go to the game because of the crazy prices, wasn't going to pay $5,000 for a ticket or anything like that. And I was going to go to what was called the NFL Fan Experience, the Super Bowl Experience, which was a week-long event in a convention center in downtown Houston where there were about 100 or so different booths where you could participate in. And it was very kid-centric as well as adults as well, but there was a lot of technology-focused virtual reality stuff. There were trading card booths. You could get your photos taken at various gaming booths. And so there was about 100 things there, and that was about $30 US ticket. So obviously you can imagine $30 versus $5,000 is a lot better option to pay if you didn't have a ticket to the Super Bowl. And they push fans all the way through there for that Houston Super Bowl week as well. So that was an incredible fan experience. There was a merchandise store you could go up to and get personalised merchandise. And a big focus of the NFL is the women's range they have as well, which we're starting to see more in Australia, especially with the AFL and the women's merchandise line that's coming in. They had everything from you could go up and basically play with a computer and you could make your own helmet or NFL helmet kind of thing. Like I said, you know, there was a ticket one where you could go in and have your face printed on a ticket, and then you got a print out of that as well. So lots of fan engagement things. You had to line up for some of them, but others you could go straight in because there were literally 100 or so of these different fan engagement activations. But what is impressive as well was the NRL and AFL grand finals. I went to both last year and the year before, and the fan engagement on offer for those games as well is really, really impressive and definitely up there, if not in a way better than what I saw at the NFL stadium for the Super Bowl. So the rugby league and the AFL here are doing a really good job for fan engagement.
Okay. Blair Hughes is our guest. As always, talking fan engagement and the fan experience. You did go to England in a couple of Premier League games. I noticed that the West Ham ground, which was the Olympic Stadium from 2012, is the only English or the only Premier League ground in the top 10 stadiums in the world. So tell me about the West Ham Stadium.
Well, I am a West Ham fan, and I've been to their original ground that's currently being bulldozed, the Boyle Inn in East London. Went to the London Stadium for a couple of games, and I think it's got a lot of teething problems. You talk to a lot of fans there and talk to, you know, even stewarding and people like that who are in charge of the fan security and safety at the stadium. And there's a lot of issues that I saw there. You know, I went up to a couple of staff and sort of asked, where is this special West Ham beer that they had that was on sale, which is I thought was a great idea, and no one knew anything about it. So it was a lot of that comes down to the training of staff and making sure they know sort of what's going on. But one part about it, you're so far away from the action. And if it's one thing I hate is when you're so far away, you can't even sort of get into the atmosphere of the actual game. So I did find it surprising that West Ham have made this top 10 list of world stadiums, actually, because unfortunately I didn't really rate it that highly.
Okay. What about with the Super Bowl? I mean, even as you were all the way up the back, how far away from the ground are you there compared with, say, the MCG or Stadium Australia?
Yeah, well, this stadium was 72,000, NRG Stadium in Houston, and it didn't feel so high because the rake of the stadium was kind of straight up kind of thing. You know, the MCG, I think the MCG is great because you get a good view everywhere you go there, but definitely at the West End Stadium, I mean, they had problems when they first opened. They sold out the stadium for all fans, but then fans got there for the first game and they didn't have any seats.
Yes.
So can you imagine rocking up and just seeing the concrete bar there but no seat being installed? So, you know, it was very interesting to see some of those things.
I find that the gap between the seats is really important. And I was astonished at the MCG at how everyone is jammed together. I don't rate the MCG particularly highly as a stadium because of that. What about just the way that you're able to, have some room to yourself at these stadiums?
Yeah, you know, that is a very interesting thing. I think it comes down to the fan experience of these US stadiums when a lot of them are a bit ahead of what we've done in terms of, the seating. You will find a lot of the US stadiums, whether it's Yankee Stadium or even this one in Houston, they have some armrests. They've also got cup holders. Yeah. So especially in, I do sort of think what stadiums in Australia have cup holders in the seats, because I do get to a lot of stadiums and I haven't seen many, but especially in our climate all around Australia, yeah. You don't want to be holding on to your beer or your cold drink for long, because it's the warmth from your hand sort of makes it go lose the coolness to it. But, there's those kind of things. And definitely in the US, you do see that the seats are a bit bigger, which is interesting as well. So, and padded. And one thing as well, with the new stadium coming for the Atlanta Falcons and Atlanta United, the MLS soccer team, they've actually got vibrating seats there. So they'll be able to switch those on, and you'll be able to feel the action or just sort of get more into it. So, yeah, I don't know how far through they are with that idea. That stadium opens mid-year, I think, but that's what was proposed about a year or so ago. So,
Very interesting. Now, the NRL, AFL, kicking off or have kicked off already. What are they doing differently this year for the fans?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things happening. I think one of the things, I've just put a blog post together looking at what the NRL are doing, and I'll do a similar one with the AFL soon. But one of the cool things I saw from Canterbury Bulldogs, who are really good with their fan engagement, I saw was that their CEO, Raylene Castle, will actually call your boss on a Friday afternoon and basically say, look, I want that person, that staff member at the game, so let them leave early. Because it's a bit of a step up on these ones where they'll print out a little card that you can print off from your computer that'll say, I give such and such a leave pass to leave to come to the Bulldogs game or something like that. So this is taking it a bit further, and I think you've got to make sure you sign up in advance or whatever so that they actually go through with the call. But I'd love to see how that works, because, so that's a pretty clever idea. But a lot of teams sort of getting into the rewards things as well, trying to, if you come to the ground early, then we'll reward you with points, and then you can use those points for, whether it's getting discounts on drinks or merchandise and things like that. A lot of teams are really improving their apps as well and getting into more digital spaces as well. But then there's simple things that they're doing, such as engaging their audience, whether it's doing a podcast or doing a TV show or, going out to schools and those kind of things. There's a lot of things that the teams are constantly doing to really try to get the fans into the stadiums, and it's good to see.
Yeah. Of course, the NRL have brought in this year a Friday night game at 6 p.m. That is not fan-friendly at all. If you are trying to get to the ground from work, or if you're even trying to get home to watch the game, that seems to be a strange thing. I know they've done it in order to give Fox Sports another game, but how do you feel on behalf of fans about a 6 o'clock game on a Friday night?
What I'd love to see is more games going back to suburban grounds, because the amount of grounds that are being packed out, whether it's Leichhardt Oval or Campbelltown or Belmore this year's got a Bulldogs game, it seems that fans are really coming out to those ones and getting engaged with those. So if they're coming out, whether it's 6 p.m., I like the idea of leaving work and bringing your work crew to the game, and I hope that really does work. But a lot of people only finish at 5. So stadiums want the fans in. They want them in there from 5 or 4 o'clock or whatever, and there's pre-games on and things like that.
I don't know how fan-friendly it is if people are trying to get to Leichhardt Oval at 6 o'clock on a Friday night through Sydney traffic, or getting even to the Olympic Stadium if they have to come from the city. That takes more than an hour in Friday night traffic. That is not a good idea, and yet they're persisting with it.
That's right. Maybe more teams need to go down the route that Raylene Castle is doing at the Bulldogs and get them to finish work early or something like that. I mean, you're exactly right. I don't know how, whether it's even in Brisbane, the Broncos or something, whether getting those games there, if they're doing 6 p.m. one as well, I'm not quite sure. But, I hope it works, because I love rugby league as much as what you do. But it does seem like 6 p.m. kickoff is going to be a bit hard for people to get to. But maybe it's a case of pick the kids up from school, go straight to the ground, and hopefully it's a winner. But we'll have to wait and see.
If you actually want to go and watch your under-20s play, if they are playing on that Friday night, they're probably going to be kicking off at about 3 in the afternoon. There's no chance anyone's going to be actually there to watch any of those games.
Yeah, that's right. I think there'll be a lot of knockoffs on knockoff earlies on Friday potentially. Then
we talk about the fan experience.
Yeah,
this is something where the fan is not being catered for. The fan at the ground is not being catered for. Maybe the fan at home, because they think, well, we'll trap you. We'll get you to watch the 6 o'clock game and then the 8 o'clock game. I just think it's not exactly fan-friendly. We've had the AFL Women's League, which is a very short competition. Most people may not realise it only runs a few rounds. Mm. The quality, I don't know, has been there. We've had some games where a team have kicked one goal and you'd think, well, that's the sort of stuff you see in, you know, under-10s or something. This is being touted as a national competition. How do you think that's gone, even as a fan experience?
I think you can't compare apples and oranges. I think this Women's League is incredible. My partner and I have been out to a couple of games, and my partner, she hates sport, but when she saw this, she was just so impressed that they've been given a go. And, you know, I've been a huge champion of women's sport for a long time. You know, just to be able to get out there and see these games, I didn't get a chance to get to that massive one that sold out at Carlton's ground here a couple of weeks ago in Melbourne. But I think there's so many great things happening from it, whether it's just the excitement that it's bringing to fans as well, and just the crowds. The crowds have been huge at these games. Now, I know what you're saying about, you know, there's only been one goal kicked or something like that. But one thing that we have to remember is that the training facilities, you know, these girls aren't getting the exact same income or training facilities. You know, they're working full-time jobs as well. And I think the competition will keep improving. I thought when it was originally going to start, there'd be way more games. But, you know, it only goes for those 8 rounds as well. So I'm really positive about it. I know where you're coming from, and I know where a lot of other fans are sort of thinking as well. One goal, you know, what's going on kind of thing. But I think there's bigger things that are coming from that, and I think everyone should get out and get to the women's AFL as well. It's just brilliant. And, you know, there's great things that netball's doing as well, and even the W League in football as well. But I think, you know, from that fan experience, they've been giving away posters, they've been really engaging the girls. There's been some great stuff on social media from a lot of the teams as well, in terms of, you know, having a female mascot as well for the teams, and also having a young female mascot sort of do the coin at the game, or being that sort of game day champion for the team as well. It's a great way to really inspire those girls to get out there and play as well. But, I mean, and the other thing, you know, that my partner said to me, Rod, was, you know, There was a moment where a girl sort of was playing with the boys up to age 12, and then was sort of told, well, that's as far as you can go. Yes. But now they've got a pathway. So I think, you know, it's the first season. It's only going to get better. And, I couldn't be more positive about it. Yeah.
Although it pretty much finishes before the AFL season proper begins. And there's no semi-finals. It's just the top two teams play in the grand final. So they've got to do a little something to extend this and to get that quality up. I understand people will go or have gone to the game, whether they continue to go next year. Maybe it's a lot of AFL fans who see this as kind of the pre-season competition.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I can't wait till, you know, hopefully we get like they did with the Big Bash, getting the WBBL and the BBL together in the one game. I only got out to one of those joint games. But, you know, hopefully they get more games throughout the season. I think fans, you know, what we're seeing is fans, whether it's Collingwood or Brisbane or whatever, they're getting right behind their women's team as well. So, it's only going to get better and more people into it. So and it's just a great pathway as well for these girls to then get into and start playing it. But, yeah.
Okay, we will see. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Blair. Thanks very much for that. We'll talk to you soon.
No worries. Thanks, Rod. Cheers.
And that was another podcast from ABC Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Thanks for listening.